you.
It's good to be here tonight. 2011, as we go into that, we just pray the Lord blesses us and blesses this church. Title of the message tonight is going to be Planning Your Future. And we are going to be in the book of James, if we would like to turn to the book of James. And I will start at 13 and read to 17, and we're going to go over these, let me see, one, two, three, four, five passages and break them down a little bit. And, you know, when I get my inspiration for writing a message, I like to read a lot of books. And a couple of my favorite pastors are Adrian Rogers and Dr. Charles Stanley, if anybody's ever heard of them. They're very good, and I try to take and borrow. I don't like to use the word steal. I guess that's probably not a... Shouldn't say that word, but maybe borrow and share it with everybody. So beg, borrow, and. But let's look at James here, and we're going to try to break these passages down here. Okay, I'll start in 4:13 in James. It says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and gain and get gain. Whereas ye not know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not to him, it is a sin." So as we see here, a lot of people look to crystal balls, palm reading, astrology, tea leaves. They look for spirit or earthly things for their future, and they take this passage as we see here, and they boast about all this stuff that is ungodly, forbidden, and is an abomination to the Lord. Nobody knows what the future holds but God. As we see here in James 13, it says, "Go to now, ye say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city." This man that we're talking about here made three mistakes in his planning. First plan that he made the mistake is he didn't include God at all in his planning. There'll be three bewares that we're going to talk about. And starting with the first one is beware of the self-centered planning. Beware of self-centered planning in 13. This man had in his mind planning on going to a city, going to build something, and he's going there and he's going to spend over a year there. So obviously he's boasting of these plans to do something that he's not even promised that he's got tomorrow to do. So he's going there to buy and to sell. And now remember, the Bible doesn't condemn business or doing such things. It's the way you go about it, if not including the Lord. All this stuff is not wrong. What's wrong with it is having God out of the plans of doing it. He's not consulting God. He's not seeking God. His worship life is one thing, and his business life is another thing. The biggest fool is not the man that says there is no God, but the fool is there's a God and doesn't live like there is a God. Look at verse 15 here. It says, For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Psalm 32, verse 8, backs that up right there as a side passage. It says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye." God will guide us with his own eye, it says in this passage right here. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." John 16, verse 13 says, "How be it when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So as we see here, putting our trust in the Lord is the way to go. When people don't trust the Lord and they take idols on into what they're doing, an idol is anything you love more than God. What is an idol? An idol is someone that serves something more than God or fears something more than God. It's called godless planning. Ezekiel, if you want to turn with me there, 14, Ezekiel 14, verse 3. Let's look at something about godless planning. It says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" See, they've already made themselves idols. We need to beware of self-confident presumption. That's the second beware. Verse 14 of James says, "God willing, this may be the year you may die. You go to heaven or hell. This may be the year you check out of here." A lot of people say, "Well, this year I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to build a business. I'm going to make all this money. I'm going to build a house. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." You know, they don't know if they're even going to be here by tomorrow. There's a story that Adrian Rogers said about him when he was back in the seminary, which is a really good illustration. He said that him and his buddy went to school learning to be a pastor or something like that, and his buddy was in his 20s, early 20s, and so was Adrian Rogers, and they knew this old man, Mr. Bourgeois was his name. And he asked his buddy to go, his buddy asked Adrian Rogers to go knock on the door and witness to this gentleman because he only had a few days to live and he didn't know the Lord Jesus. So Adrian Rogers said, he goes, "Yes, I'll go do that. I'll do that. I'll go visit this guy." So he goes over there and knocks on the door, and the guy answers the door. He says, "Mr. Bourgeois?" He goes, "Yes, I am." He goes, "I'm Adrian Rogers. I'm here. If I could just have a minute with you, I'd like to tell you how you could be saved and talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "Well, come on in." So I guess they went in there. They had a nice conversation. The guy was very sick, I guess, from cancer or something like that. But he led him to the Lord and left the house. I guess Adrian Rogers went back to his buddy, said everything went real well. Things went really good. And he believed that he accepted the Lord that night. So anyway, the guy, his buddy, who was, like I said, in his early 20s, was having dinner with his girlfriend or his wife, I believe. And about, I don't know, half hour after dinner, the guy got up, fell over, and died. The kid. And it turned out that the guy that Adrian Rogers led to the Lord, that Mr. Bourgeois, went on to live many years. So if you could, he died, and the other, that old man, lived many, many years, I guess, after that, maybe 5 or 10 years, but it just goes to show you, is life is short, and it really doesn't matter what good health is. Our life is a vapor. It's here for just a little while, and then we just disappear. Thinking presumptuously, self-centered presumption is a sin. Proverbs 21:27 says that it says, I love this passage right here about boasting. 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both. Wrath is cruel. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? But the bottom line is, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Another good illustration that I want to read is in Luke. Now, this is probably one of my favorites and the best one, Luke 12. This says it all right here, Luke 12. And we are going to start, where are we at? 16. Now, I believe this is a parable. Bruce, is this a parable? Okay, I want to make sure, not a story. Okay, this is the Lord Jesus saying the story. Now, this is very interesting. He says at 16, it says, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where is to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. Now see, there's that word again right there. This will I do. I will. Well, you know, as we go into the scripture, it sounds like a certain I will from a certain devil that said this back in Isaiah, these I wills. Isn't that kind of interesting how the comparison is? The I wills, it just popped into my head. Satan said the same thing. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. So as we see here, the I wills, as Satan said, I will. The man says, I have many years. God says, tonight. The man said, I have many years, and God says, tonight your soul is required of thee. Now, who do you want to believe? The third beware is one of the most dangerous ones of all, is the self-complacent procrastination. Self-complacent procrastination, putting things off. In verse 15, it says, back in James, I want to look at 15 of that passage, and this is where this one's going to come in with the boasting. I never marked my Bible. That's why I can't get to these passages here. Okay. Yeah, 15. Or no, it says 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Here's a man who knew what he ought to do, but he didn't do it. He's boasting in himself. He's aware of God's will, but he does not want to do it. So when we get to this passage, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. As an example, when you don't make the meetings, when you don't go to Bible study, when you don't come to the both of the meetings and you put it off and do something else, to you, you're sinning against God is what it is. As an example, I was invited, the Super Bowl will be coming up next month, and I was invited from my friend who goes to another church, and they're having a Super Bowl party or Super Bowl whatever. gathering and stuff like that. But as a deacon at this church, I know I need to be here, not there. So in other words, if I decide to go there and not come here, they're going to look at me and ask where I'm at. And if they say, well, he's at a Super Bowl party that night, but that to me, I'm not offending the elders or the people at the church, I'm offending God. I know to be here at this meeting, I've got a responsibility to God, not nobody else. Because it doesn't look good if they say, where is he at? He's at a Super Bowl party and he knows I'm supposed to be at these meetings and I'm supposed to set an example. So I know to do good and I know to be here. You know, it's a greater sin to fail to do what you ought to do than to do what you ought not to do. It is a greater sin to fail to do what you ought to do than to do what you ought not to do. The Bible teaches that self-complacent procrastination is a big sin. Going to your morning meetings, helping the poor, Bible study, being in the Word. A person who is lost doesn't know any of this stuff because he's lost. He's going to go in the pattern which he knows to do. He's not bothered by living in sin because he doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't know any better. A person who's lost are the people that go to hell. A person who is lost today is because he has failed to do what he ought to do, and that is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Because he is not believed. When you give the gospel out, you speak to people, and they know deep down in their heart when the Lord puts a turning in each one of our hearts, and they know what to do, and they refuse to do it, that's a sin against the Holy Spirit, and that's an unforgivable sin. Why do churches fail? Why the church neglected or home is neglected? Is because of that. Numbers 32, I want to read. If we can go to Numbers 32 pertaining that. Numbers 32:23. Says, but if ye will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Knowing to do good and not doing it. The reason that people are lost today is the sin of omission. Wrong thinking, sin of omission. Homes break up because of the sin of omission. Churches break up because of the sin of omission. Failing to do what they ought to do. And doing their own thing and not putting the Lord first. And the final beware we have here is beware of self-centered planning. Don't leave God out of your plans. Self-centered, confident presumption. You do not have a promise of tomorrow. Your life is a vapor. What you're going to do. Beware of self-centered procrastination, saying one of these days I'm going to do it. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it to him not is a sin. Some of you need to give your heart to Jesus. You say one of these days you're going to do it. And that's probably the worst one of them all. When people hear the message about getting saved and they say, well, I'll wait. I know I need to be saved, but right now I'm having a good time. I'm having fun. I'm partying. I'm drinking. I'm doing drugs. I'm hanging out in the bars and just doing everything I want to do. But I'll accept the Lord. I'll accept the Lord one of these days. It doesn't have to be today. I got plenty of years, as the rich man said about building his barns. He's got soul. He has many, many years. And the Lord will tell you that you're a fool You don't have tomorrow. The day of salvation is now, today. So in that aspect, we need to plan like today. You live every day like it is your last day. We're not promised tomorrow. So Hebrews 10:25 is a great Bible verse. It says, "Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So us all being here tonight, we're not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. The people that are not here are. And that's a sin. You know, when you people get baptized and they come to these morning meetings, they're going to fill up. That's a good thing when people get baptized. We get more people in here assembling every Sunday. All these people that are being baptized, these six or seven people, that's a great thing. And Lord willing, they'll be coming here at 9:30 and remembering the Lord's death with us. And going on and being here for the AM and PMs. And the PMs will pick up even more with even more people. We got Sam coming now. And you just add to the list, more people, the merrier, coming and praising the Lord. And that's not forsaking the assemblies. We're coming together as a church. One final thing I want to look at here in that James is where it says here, it says, "But now you rejoice in your boastings." You ever hear people that go ahead and boast? It kind of just deadens your spirit a lot of times. They have not God with them, but they boast and they just brag and they say what they're going to do. And then they end up dead miraculously. A story I wanted to share with you is I'm just trying to think of it real quick. I just got done hearing it and I couldn't believe it. Let me think here. Nope, I can't think of it. Drawing a blank. The guy had everything planned out in his life. He was going to be moving. And he had all these plans to move out of state. And he had a sickness come upon him. And he died suddenly. And he was a young guy, too. He was a real young guy. And it just let... But he was so sure that he was going to have these years and these house and his house built and many years to live. And he didn't think about his soul for one second. Isn't that amazing? Not for one second did he think about where he was going to spend eternity. And in the snap of a finger, when we were down at the mission last night, as an example, what was interesting is we were passing this food out and stuff like that, and all these people were gathered around in the seats and stuff like that, and we were standing there observing what was going on. And outside our door, we had a warm car ready to get back into going to our homes and stuff like that. But for a flash of a second, if we were just to switch places with these people that had nothing for just a minute, I was just picturing myself, you know, wow, what's it like to really sit on a bench and sleep on a bench or sleep on the cold floor? And last night was Thanksgiving. They had like a ham and potatoes. Usually they get two pieces of bread and a thin slice of bologna for dinner down there. But I actually just for a second, I'm thinking, wow, how would I act if I was here? I had to stay at this mission. Just in despair. It was just amazing. I'm going to sleep on this bench, and I'm just going to wake up, get told to be kicked out of here at 5:30 in the morning, and have to walk 2 miles down to the next mission in blistering, freezing cold weather. going down there is a real eye-opener because you're just so thankful to God. And you know what's sad is a lot of people are not thankful to God for what they have. Just the simple, small things. A car, a coat. I mean, these people got absolutely nothing but a church pew to sleep on. And you know, I go back to my house, I open the door, there's heat on. There's something to eat in the refrigerator. There's a roof above my head. You know, you're just so thankful for what we do have. The Lord has been very blessful to us, and we should appreciate that and thank Him for that. The people that go on and that are rich in this world, the Lord says it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. A lot of these rich people out there today, the big mansions and cars and their whole life. I always like to use as an example a lawyer. I'm not trying to ditch lawyers or something like that, but their whole life is their work and making money and having big things, houses and big cars. And their whole life, they go through their whole life just, you know, with their practice, you know. But they go through their whole life without God, without Jesus. And then they die without Jesus. So they die in their sins. So really, what have you gained? When the Bible says, for what has a man profited if he gained the whole world, but yet loseth his own soul? So really, you don't gain anything. Everything's borrowed down here, temporal. Borrowing cars, borrowing houses, borrowing these clothes. And the rich man thinks, well, I got property in Florida, property in Arizona. I got cars, boats, suits, fancy things, fancy toys. And they're putting their trust in their riches and not their trust into the Lord. For riches have wings and they will fly away. James chapter 5, it says, go to now, ye rich man. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Oh, man. Oh, man. Man, I don't want to be a rich man. I don't want to be rich. I really don't. They got that lottery out there right now, $210 million. I don't want to win that. I don't even want to think about buying a ticket. We read stuff like this. We don't want to be rich. We want to be rich towards the Lord. Look at number two. Your riches are corrupted. Oh, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you. Oh, boy. And shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Oh, man, this is sad news here for the rich man. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Just what we talked about. Those are strong verses. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be a witness against you in the day of judgment. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped and entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. See, I've always seen it this way. These people, let's say, I don't know, okay, Donald Trump, Bill Gates, NFL owners, baseball, just all these rich people. When I went to San Diego and I was in a $15 million mansion, I look at it just what this passage says right here in 5. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth. This is their heaven. This is the rich man's heaven, that the short years they think they have, or the long years they think they have, are very short. The Christians believe our treasures are in heaven and not here. So when we die, we're going to be with the Lord for eternity, which is far better than being here. But the rich man, his heaven is right now. That's why it says you've lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Nourished your hearts, like the rich man in Luke, lived sumptuously every day. Had not a worry, but as you see where he ended up, and you see where the poor man who had nothing ended up. So as we look at this today, planning our future, I pray that for the year 2011, our church here continues on keeping in the Word, keeping focused, and just trusting in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and witnessing more. We heard a gentleman yesterday saying that he wants to this year give the gospel out more and talk to people more about Jesus. And that's a great thing, because people need that. Like Bruce's message this morning, people are hurting right now. They really are. You know, you get around people and they got a lot of sadness in them. And you know, as Christians, let us go on and be an encouragement to them. You know, try to get them to church. Try to witness to them. Try to maybe talk to them about the Lord. Read the Bible to them. As I was talking to Dan Chevier tonight, he'll be back next week on the PM and stuff like that. But he just says when he's alone, he says he sees the devil attacking him and stuff like that. And it's good for him to be around brothers and have fellowship. I said, Dan, that's the best thing you can do. I said, just because you're a Christian, we don't party, but, you know, we go bowling. We can play pool. You know, just being around other people is good for your head. You know, Dan wants to have some activity going on maybe once a week down his basement and with the women upstairs. But that's good fellowship. That keeps your mind busy. You're talking about the Bible. You're playing pool. You're doing other stuff. But he made an interesting point, though. He says the devil attacks him when he's alone, and that's what he does. When you're alone and you're just locked up by yourself and the devil starts attacking your mind, and then, you know, if you're not strong enough, you're going to be turned over to that. But so I spent a little time with him this afternoon. It was a good thing. I'm glad I did. But you never can give up on people, too. It's hard to do what to help people out when they're deep down in the pit. But, you know, I've learned that you can never give up on them. You know, you really can't. You know, it's easy to do that because nobody wants to deal with them. But God loves them, and God loves us, and he's using us to help them out. And you never know. Some people pull out of that. But, you know, as an example with Dan and him being baptized, he's coming. He has the will to be coming here, and that's good, and that's a good sign. A lot of people just say forget it, and they don't want nothing to do with it. So let us keep that as well in our plans as we move forward with the church here. So I'm going to close real quick. Lord, we thank you for this time and this fellowship that we have here with the saints, the brothers and sisters here. Lord, I thank you for letting me be here, Lord, to give a message out, Lord. And we just do pray for Curtis, Lord, for the year 2011, Lord. We just pray we get more people in here. We lift up the baptisms. We pray that they all show up, Lord. We want to lift Bruce up as he prepares to teach them, Lord, before they are baptized, Lord. And we pray that they learn a lot. And we just lift that up to you, Lord. We also want to lift up everybody on the prayer request list, Lord, especially Todd Winteringham, Lord, who's been out of jail now. We want to lift him up to you, Lord, as he moves forward. And we just pray that he keeps clean. We pray for Gene and Phil, and Phil for his surgery. We thank you for bringing him out. Pray for Pat, who's not here working, Lord, for her knee. And we pray for her brother, who needs to be saved. And we pray for him tonight, Lord, and everybody else. We pray for each other, too, Lord. We just really do. And I thank you, Lord, for watching over my mom and dad, too, Lord. As they continue to just heal up and stuff like that from what they're going through. And we want to lift this food up to you too now, Lord, and this fellowship that you give us downstairs. Lord, we thank thee, Lord. We thank thee. In Jesus' name, amen.